you know, it's like being married or being a member of a family. You know, there's always strife. You know, people that live together fight a lot. But I've noticed that we went through a period of kind of, it was really getting strained. And I think when you're creating well, when the music is going well, everybody's happy. It's only when your creativity kind of dies off a little bit, then everybody starts feeling the strain, you know.
Bobby Krieger, John Densmore, and Ray Manzarek took stock. They had decided already to retain the Doors' name and continue as a trio should their X Factor give notice. It was quite encouraging, therefore, when Other Voices, their first album as such, almost but not quite entered the US Top 30, though its single, Tightrope Ride, hovered in the lower half of the Hot 100. During the hiatus between Other Voices and a second effort, 1972's Full Circle, another retrospective by the Morrison lineup, Weird Scenes Inside the Goldmine, proved a much more viable marketing exercise. The writing was on the wall, and with the critical and commercial failure of Full Circle, the Doors disbanded. On the rebound, John and Bobby produced The Comfortable Chair by a group of the same name, then formed The Butts Band with three British musicians, singer Jess Roden, bass guitarist Philip Chen, and on keyboards, Roy Davies. An album was recorded in Jamaica and promoted via a short UK tour before Roden went solo. The Butts Band soldiered on for another year, but split up after the release of a second album, 1975's Here and Now. Krieger and Densmore stayed together for projects such as a 1975 reggae album and Bobby's solo efforts, which were to include overhauls of Backdoor Man and Light My Fire. Meanwhile, Ray Manzarek kept the wolf from the door as a producer and arranger. He likewise made records in his own right, beginning with The Golden Scarab, and also in 1975, the whole thing started with rock and roll. More intriguing, however, would be his interpretation of Carl Orff's 1937 choral work, Carmina Burana. Nevertheless, as the 1980s loomed, Ray, Bobby, and John started thinking aloud to anyone who would listen about reforming the Doors with another lead vocalist. Not a biological duplicate of Jim Morrison exactly, but someone as capable of carrying the show single-handed while the instrumentalists labored away behind him. Certain media folk speculated who the new Door might be. The odds-on favorites were Jess Roden, Iggy Pop, who dyed his hair black in anticipation, Kevin Coyne, and also from England, Howard Worth, formerly of a band called Audience. In the end, the replacement of Jim Morrison was none other than Jim Morrison himself. As implied by the heavy dropping of his name in 1974's Rock and Roll Heaven by the Righteous Brothers, Jim wasn't available for stage work, but his old comrades grafted musical accompaniment onto the poems he recited on that last birthday before he died. Issued in 1979, An American Prayer was a sufficiently strong commercial proposition for Elektra to explore its vaults for further saleable Doors merchandise, as pop's history was proving just as popular as its present. As well as further hits compilations, The End was heard over the opening credits of Francis Ford Coppola's Apocalypse Now, and recyclings of Light My Fire, Hello I Love You, and Riders of the Storm all entered the UK charts. Light My Fire climbing as high as number 7 in 1991. 9 years later, the first four albums were issued on CD, almost as nature intended, in that they were reproduced precisely as they had first appeared on vinyl, but digitally remastered and with artwork a fifth the size. The same applied to a 1997 box set of four CDs containing a majority of hitherto unissued items. Sufficient in-concert material had been unearthed already to fill Alive She Cried and its single, A Crack at Gloria, from a 1969 soundcheck, as well as The Doors at the Hollywood Bowl, which spread itself thinly enough in 1987 to qualify for a silver disc without moving past number 154 in the States and number 51 in Britain. Autumn 2001 would bring another offering, Bright Midnight, Live in America. As a taster for proposed series of each of the 14 shows taped in 1969 and 1970. These were clearly aimed at the insatiable devotee, with the patience to sit through yet another fantastic version of The End, or Backdoor Man, or Jim's interminable build-up to Roadhouse Blues in Boston on the 10th of April 1970. For the more marginally committed Doors fan, however, you had to have been there.